Welcome to the Minerals and Royalties Podcast, the home of CEOs and investors in the minerals and royalties space. This is the Kitchen Table War Story Series, ground zero for the legendary tales of the minerals space.
Hey guys, this is Tim Powell from the Minerals and Royalties Authority. I recently sat down with Brad Rich and Tanner Kyle, the managing partners of Onyx Energy, to walk through some of the wild stories they've experienced from closing deals in Appalachia over the years. Let's jump into the episode and hear more of what Brad and Tanner had to say.
My name is Brad Rich, managing partner of Onyx Energy.
My name is Tanner Kyle, also managing partner of Onyx Energy, and these are our kitchen table war stories. You know, obviously being a mineral buyer, dealing direct is where you find the best deals. It's also where you kind of end up getting some of the most interesting stories or situations you put yourself into, I would say, you know, and not one of the stories, but, you know, just a side example of what we're dealing with right now. We're going in between a death row inmate and a widow who ended up becoming his prison pen pal and married him. And we are now going in between both of them to get a deal. Something I never thought I'd be doing is looking into how to get in contact with death row inmates and initiate discussion there and what they are able to do, what they can't. So that's been an interesting one. But we were working a deal a few years ago. It was a pretty big Appalachia, West Virginia specifically deal. And we've been going back and forth with the family for months. And things are going well. We end up setting up another time to meet. I fly out. I take him to a nice dinner. We're sitting there. Things are going good. We're drinking some wine. And for a second, the conversation kind of just stops and nobody's saying anything. And the wife looks at me and she goes, well, you know, it's kind of funny that just a while back, we were able to figure out that we share a grandparent. And I'm sitting there thinking, did I hear this right? One, and how do I not show on my face that this surprised me? And so all I respond with was, what a coincidence. How would that happen? Why I said that, I have no idea, but I proceed to then sit there while they tell me about after the birth of their second kid, they're just sitting there talking about their families one day and put together that they share a grandparent.
So by the way, for context, so it's a nice dinner. You're drinking some vino and it gets a little loose and like, oh, by the way, we share a grandparent. It just kind of slips out.
It just like that. I mean, and I didn't know what to say. I'm trying to keep it cool. When I'm in buy mode, I'm thinking, don't do anything to rock this boat. Let's get this deal done. And for whatever reason, my response is as simple as, what a coincidence. And, you know, it was already an interesting dinner. The wife went, as soon as we got there, literally ordered nothing but desserts for dinner. had a side of maple syrup ordered. And I'm sitting there listening to them tell me about finding out after the birth of their second kid that they share a grandparent. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm glad I'm dealing with this generation and not the next. All I'm thinking is I can't wait to leave this and call Brad and tell him what just happened.
I mean, I think ordering a side of maple syrup and just ordering straight desserts the whole time is that in itself would be a first for me too. That's kind of funny.
I think that's when you know that something's unusual and you just go further down the rabbit hole. And I'm not talking like just like one dessert. She literally ordered four desserts. It was like an appetizer dessert, a dinner dessert, a dessert dessert, and then another dessert on top of that, second dessert. I mean, it was unlike anything I'd ever seen. The whole night is one where you couldn't have made that up.
Hey guys, I wanted to take a quick break from the conversation to say thank you to Opportune LLP for sponsoring our Minerals and Royalties podcast. As a leading global energy business advisory firm, Opportune is well positioned to provide world-class technical, financial, and operational capabilities to minerals and royalties companies. Whether it's back office outsourcing, resource and reserve definition, land due diligence and administration, GIS mapping, valuation work, data and system integration, financial reporting, tax advisory, or buy and sell side assistance, Opportune LLP has got you covered. For more information, please visit www.opportune.com. I also want to say thank you to Noble Royalties, who's been a leader in the minerals and royalty space since 1997. With the ever-changing landscape of the energy industry, Noble's team urges EMPs, mineral funds, and private families to rethink how they buy and sell their minerals. Noble's legacy and experience will assist in delivering effective solutions to EMPs and private owners alike on how to best maximize their mineral ownership in this ever-changing market. If you're interested in having a conversation about what might be the best solution for your company, fund, or family, then please reach out to Chase Morris at cmorris@nobleroyalties.com or Shannon Manor at smanor@nobleroyalties.com. Lastly, I'd like to take a moment to thank Enverus, a leading energy SaaS company that has software platforms designed to empower oil and gas companies through analytics and highly technical insights. MineralSoft is Enverus's mineral management platform that enables owners to capture missing revenue and maximize the value of their minerals portfolios. EnergyLink is Enverus's platform for automating joint venture and owner relations business processes. If you're interested in learning more about Enverus, MineralSoft, and EnergyLink, then please visit www.enverus.com or email businessdevelopment@enverus.com. Thanks. Now let's jump back into the episode.
In this one particular situation from a few years back, there was an opportunity to purchase some minerals from a trust that had obviously been misentitled back in like the 50s. So the trust had been created, 70 years back, and there were like 100 or more beneficiaries. Most of the people didn't know each other. And it basically became evident if we were able to get a majority of the family members on board within a certain amount of time, we'd get the deal done. And, of course, as usual, you're racing against the drill bit, so that's kind of par for the course. But essentially, we had only a few months to get right around 100 people to agree, or we would have lost, thousands of dollars, tons of man hours in the deal entirely. So with that caveat, we basically would need to run point on all communication to all these beneficiaries to basically inform them about the family history and what their share of the total sale was going to be. The trustee, who was, in his 90s, and I think he said something to me, he said the doctors tell him that finding new hobbies will help keep him young, but he wasn't looking for his new hobby to be Ancestry.com. Pretty funny guy. But with some of the family background, we basically had to track down all these family members, provide them with the information about their ancestry, how to get paid for their ownership. The family was actually really receptive to it, and communication was smooth. There's one gentleman actually who had responded to us a few weeks after he'd gotten paid, and I'll never forget his call. He told me that he received his payment. He was really happy and grateful for, found money. He also mentioned he was thankful for the family history that we had personalized and sent to him, but he, I guess, had gotten thinking about some things that didn't quite add up in his life and in the family tree that we had provided. And I guess he had taken on Ancestry.com as a hobby and basically immersed himself in trying to get to understand his past. And after exhausting the World Wide Web, he said he had called neighbors, cousins, second cousins, family friends, 23andMe, anyone who had basically talked to him to try and get some answers. And I guess he went through with some kind of a DNA test, and he discovered one hell of a bombshell. It turned out that his biological father was actually the neighborhood milkman. So that 23andMe is that's something. You're finding the Golden Gate killer. You're finding out your dad's the milkman. pretty wild. Pretty well. We're living in the future. But he said he didn't think his dad ever knew. He didn't know if his mom knew the truth or not. But they both had since passed away, so he'd never be able to ask. And it might sound like a sad story. I don't even know what you say to that, kind of like Tanner. It's like, well, how about that? I had no idea what the hell I was going to tell him, but he basically was like, said what a relief it was to have it cleared up, but also helped him make sense of why the milkman was at his house so often.
Well, by the way, it sounds like a bad skit for a porno, right? A milkman comes to deliver. It's usually like pizza delivery guy or something, or the plumber.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm here to deliver the milk. And I'll admit, he was relieved, I guess, to kind of clear that up and get some closure. But I'll admit that Tanner and I were relieved that we had a will from his dad that specified him as a beneficiary specifically.
Yeah, so was that like, it's kind of interesting. You kind of get in the middle of like an emotional thing. Was it ever awkward, or he was like grateful, or you just kind of like bear through it?
And I can't say that I'll, you know, that I would understand that sort of circumstance or how I'd feel. I think probably something happened with the, you know, family tree and the genealogy that we had provided, where he looked at something, and I never knew what that was, but, you know, because we've done our homework and we've provided him with, you know, basically the answers to, you know, how they were involved with this trust. And I'm sure there were a lot of things right when that came where it's, you know, it's clicking and he's thinking, shoot, something's not right here, you know? And I don't know, he didn't really go into what that was, but, you know, I think he had gone through the 12 stages in those weeks. And it sounded like he basically just fully immersed himself into figuring out where he was from. And I mean, it's wild too, because, you know, in these small towns, like he was able to find out who his biological father was. And then it sounded like some of the neighbors maybe kind of, like it was a neighborhood thing, like they kind of knew that there was something up, you know. And as a kid, he's like, you know, hell, I'm playing catch with the milkman. This might be a little strange, but the milkman's kind of my buddy. You know, I don't know. But at the end of the day, I think it was relief for him, which is nice, because, you know, hell, you come across these scenarios and it's, you know, you kind of have your detective hat on a little bit, I think. And you're just, you know, because we got to, at the end of the day, figure out the title, right? That's our goal, get the title and get the deal and, you know, make it smooth and hopefully everybody wins. But, you know, these stories come to light and it's just unbelievable.
And I think, correct me here, Brad, but I mean, he now, I think, runs a Facebook group for people to it's become a thing.
That's right. It's,
wow.
And I can't remember the name. It'd probably be nice to shed some light on the group for anybody who would find that helpful. But it's children who didn't know their parents, something along those lines. And I guess they have like thousands of members worldwide in this group.
No shit. Well, there you go. That's a kind of a cool silver lining in the beginnings of doing a minerals deal, and then you kickstarted that. So kudos, guys.
It's definitely something. I mean, and you see a lot of this. I mean, you also see the bad sides of, you know, families selling each other out for, you know, a couple hundred bucks, but you see a lot of good with it as well. I started the land man when I was 23 years old, and I'd just gotten out of college and did not really know much of what I was doing. Had done a little bit of title work, and then my boss at the time says, hey, we got a leasing project in West Virginia. I need you there. So here I am, 23 years old, pack up, you know, the few things I have, drive to West Virginia, middle of nowhere. I'm living in a travel lodge off the highway. And my first time leasing, I set up the meeting and I show up at this house, or what some people would call a house. And it is this dilapidated barn looking thing with a gate you can't get past. So I park. I start walking up and there is a dead goat in the driveway. There's like six stray dogs that are eating off of this goat. There is chickens running all around. And this is my first time leasing.
This is the first
time. I'm 23. I grew up in the suburbs outside of Austin. And so this is nothing I've never been in a situation like this. And so all I'm thinking is, okay, I got to get this contract signed. I got to get out of here. Well, I'm here to meet this guy. And I, you know, somebody comes to the door, they say, hey, come on in. He's inside. I walk in, they have no running water, no electricity. There might have been floors at some point. It was just dirt when I was there. And literally, this is my first time ever leasing. And I'm thinking, walking up, like, what have I done? And, you know,
yeah, nice career path. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
what do I do?
Wow. Like, I got a college degree for this. And I sit down. And it's this grandpa who I'm supposed to be dealing with. The guy does not have a tooth in his head. I cannot understand one word he's saying. And for 40 minutes, I'm sitting there nodding my head, having a conversation with this guy. I have no idea what he was saying. I'm just like, wow, that's really interesting. Wow. Like laughing at random points. Just, I didn't know what to do. And I'm thinking that I'm in the corner of his house. Right. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm back to the wall. Well, I have these cats walking over my feet.
I have a dog that comes out, and I don't know where they're coming from in this corner. I guess there's a hole or something. Maybe, I mean, so I'm literally on the edge of my seat trying to touch as little things as possible. And I proceed to listen to them tell me how they're going to use this money. And it was, you know, for them, a pretty big life-changing amount of money. I think it was like $65,000, $70,000. And they're telling me they're going to finally update their house, and they're going to add running water, they're going to add electricity, and all these great things. And this is going to, you know, give them that advantage. We go to put the paper down on the table, and it's so dirty that the guy, I literally have the guy sign the document on my back, where it was like the only thing we could put the paper against to not stain.
There's critters scampering.
Yeah, I mean, and so all I'm thinking is, okay, I just got to get this and get out of here. Well, he signs the contract. I leave. I walk back out past the dead goat, get in my car thinking I can't wait to get to the hotel and cover myself in bleach and take 10 showers. Well, I bring them their check a week later. And the week after that, I go meet with their neighbor to go sign a lease. And I drive past their house, and there's four jet skis in front of the house. They were going to use all this money for household repairs, you know, to get things, you know, really on track. And instead, they had seen a great deal on four jet skis, and they bought all four.
Is there a body of water really anywhere near this place?
No. No, that's the best part. They had no car or truck. They had to have the jet skis dropped off, okay? There is no water nearby. So now they have landlocked four jet skis. What they're going to do with them, I don't know.
Not only is there not a body of water, there's still no running water.
Yeah. And to this day, we occasionally will drive by because we still work the area pretty heavy, and those jet skis are still there.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed. The Minerals and Royalties Authority is a specialist advisory firm focused exclusively on the minerals and royalty space for oil and gas and renewables. With our leading content platform and thought leadership, our team is continually looking to bring awareness to the mineral space in order to help investors and companies buy and sell deals and form new partnerships. If you're interested in scheduling a call to explore ways the Minerals and Royalties Authority can help your team through our offering of consulting services for business development, marketing, capital raising, and A&D, then please send me an email at tim@mineralsauthority.com. Also, please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to share these episodes with anyone in your network that you think would enjoy. Thanks, and see you next time.